Hello and welcome to our unusual dialogues. Today, I'm hosting an interview with my lovely friend Patri from Germany. Hello, Patri.
Hello.
Hiya. So first and foremost, before we get into it and give our dose of wisdom and fun facts to our listeners, I just wanted to ask you to introduce yourself to our audience.
Oh yeah, of course. Thank you. So hey, I'm Patri. I'm 23 years old, and yeah, I'm from Germany. I'm actually Spanish, and yeah, I study sociology with economy. I'm right now living in Berlin, and yeah, I'm glad I'm here. Thank you for the invitation.
Beautiful. Okay, so straight away there, that's a fun story to start with, I think. And very interesting one. I would argue that in the larger scheme of things, I'm quite a boring Polish man. Whereas Patri is actually bilingual and in a sense bi-national as well. Since you were brought up in Germany. So how is that and how did that come about?
I'm bilingual, and from it's a matter of perspective if it's something good or bad, but right now in my actual state I would say it's something really good. So I don't know, like as a kid you don't really know about nationalities and stuff, but when you grow up you get aware of it, and yeah, I don't know if you get to know people from the outside of your four walls. It's something good to know a few languages already, and yeah, with English in school, it was really cool to have like three already, like checked.
Yeah, right. Because funnily enough, we're speaking in a third language out of those, so that's an additional layer there. So what? Okay, let's rewind a bit. Have you been to Spain much during your upbringing, or have you spent most of your time in Germany?
Actually, I've spent most of my time in Germany. I went to school here. We went once per year, like 1 month per year to Spain. Every year, actually, like the Corona year was the first year we didn't go. But yes, I don't know, you get, I think you idolize the country if you go there, like in summer, you know, the best, it's like the best time of the year and you spend it abroad. So you don't really get to know the country you're living in summer, and you always get, you know, the cold winter of Germany, and then you go to Spain and it's like everything's great and it's summer vibes, so you get to idolize it.
Fair enough. I would still argue that that's quite a cool range of experiences to have. You know, you can enjoy the proper snow, maybe back in the days, not nowadays, but there used to be snow, or so they say. And then you go for summer and you enjoy the intense heat, which is actually right now something that we all are enjoying or not, depending on perspective. That's really cool. So with upbringing in Germany, what have you seen any, or have you experienced any particular extreme differences between the way, or just differences between the way your family lives in Spain and your family lives in Germany?
Yeah, I think one big thing are like the hours where you eat, like when you eat, because you know, it's always a thing when I'm with friends and I'm like, oh yeah, let's meet up in the afternoon, and they would write me around like 2 and that's not the afternoon for me, so I think that's, you could say it's like kind of a Spanish thing. Afternoon starts at like 5, 6 for me. Yeah, so I think that's like a huge difference. But I don't know. Yeah, it's different, the culture, but also, I mean, also in one country you have like different cultures, you know. In Spain it's like the north and the south, and yeah, so it's different, I would say. Yes, but idealizing it, I would say it's kind of warmer also from the atmosphere in Spain than here in Germany. But that's okay, I mean, there are something for everyone.
Yeah, I bet. You mean the approach to people, kind of warmer vibe?
Yeah, more welcoming in Spain, I would say. Like, I don't know, it's used that if someone comes to your house, you just welcome the person. Like, I don't know, give them everything you have, just food or something. And in Germany, I've experienced, maybe that was only my perception of it, that could be. But yeah, I've experienced more like a, I don't know, a bit more distance.
Yeah, reserved maybe.
Yes,
is the,
maybe.
The way, definitely. I mean, you know, living in the UK, being pointed out that Eastern Europeans are so expressive or so harsh, like straight away to the point and very bold, whereas I live in a country that is known for its stiff upper lip, which as much of a stereotype it is, it's actually quite true to some extent, and depending on the situation, but definitely people are much more courteous and polite because they have to rather than because they want to, I would say.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting.
Yeah, quite a weird, I mean, just different vibe in that regard. So, coming off that, I wanted to ask about the Spain, which you actually reconnected with during your Erasmus, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Yeah, I think I took the easy road. But, yeah, I don't know, we've talked about being bilingual and being like from two different countries, kind of. So yeah, I think when I want to someday live in Spain, like I'm pretty sure I will end up there. I mean, you never know, but I can imagine. So I wanted to see actually how it is when I live there. So when I'm not idealizing it from summer. So I didn't know back then that I would idealize it from Erasmus, but but yeah, it was lovely. Like I did my Erasmus in Pamplona in the north of Spain.
How long was that for?
It was actually only 5 months. Like I came back right before Corona. But yeah, I don't know, I've got to meet great people, and just the Erasmus experience. It was easier for me to study in Spanish than for others. I bet.
No wonder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. Actually, I didn't get to meet a lot of locals there. Like I was with the Erasmus community, which is the usual thing, I guess.
That's interesting though, because you know, being a part of Erasmus, you sort of aim to experience the culture and the place that you're aiming for, and yet from what you're saying, it kind of is a bit of a bubble. Like you go abroad to experience the abroad, but you experience it through the lens of being with a group of people from sort of the same environment, you know, coming there to experience it.
Yes, totally. It's like filtered, you know, you don't get the whole thing. You just see it from one perspective, which is like the Erasmus experience.
The Erasmus experience. Yeah. No, that's really cool still. I think like I missed out, if anything, and maybe I will try to get some Erasmus or any trip done.
It's never too late.
During my master's, yeah. Well, you could do it on your own as well, which is a a fair idea, but definitely going abroad, like, you know, Meg did in Malmo and some other people did in different countries, that's definitely adding to your uni experience, which all in all is quite, I don't know, arguably quite a boring ride if you don't make it more exciting one.
Would you take like a gap year if you would go for Erasmus, or would you study there?
I mean, I don't know, it depends. I guess it depends on the situation, whether or not there would be something, because I actually looked, you know, Meg did Erasmus in Malmo and that was great and she really enjoyed it, whereas when I looked at the modules that were offered there and I didn't want to skip a year, nothing was like striking to me so much that I wanted to participate, so I decided against it. But I guess it depends on where I would look at the time. With my uni, that was the place to look for, like Sweden, Norway, whereas maybe something in, I don't know, Germany, Denmark or Spain. Definitely Spain would be something to experience for myself. But on this note, since you came back and, you know, regardless of the pandemic, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
You got involved with our little cult of Erasmus and now you're the president of a section, actually.
Yes.
Which is quite a quick jump for an Erasmus student to just go on one trip and come back and next year get a... So what's the story with that? A little bit of a background.
So I came back from Erasmus and I was missing it a lot, actually. So I thought, why not continue? and that's how I joined ESN. So first it was like, oh, let's see. And it was all online. So I was doubting it a bit, but it was great, actually. Like people were amazing in my section. And it was really cool to get to know them and to organize stuff and just, you know, when you get to do Erasmus, you know how lost you can feel at first. So it's really great to provide that kind of, contact, to be like a contact person for someone that is maybe lost out there. So I wanted to do that, and then it went quickly up the ladder to being president. It was not planned, but it's great. It's a bit difficult now from Berlin, like to do it from the distance. But I don't know. I think that the team is great, and we can manage somehow. I mean, now we know how to do online stuff, and yeah, we can use that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, not much changed even with you being in Berlin, because as you said, you joined when it was already all online, and for the most part, it seems that it's going to stay that way for some time, especially the meetings, which are just not viable to meet around. I mean, if you're from the same uni, then fair enough, but for instance, our national board, it's just impossible to meet in person, like four countries coming together.
Yeah, that's something totally different, that's true.
That's really cool. But yeah, so you didn't actually plan it, did you, to join the committee itself? It was more of a organic situation that the position was there and there was no one willing to join, or?
Yeah, it's really different, difficult in, I don't know, when everything is online to motivate people for the team. I know that now. And the president, like Marion, the one that was president before me, she went into the national board. So if there's no president, the section can't survive. So we needed to find someone, and I think I just I was at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and active enough to be considered in that regard.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really cool. Okay, so, you know, around and jumping about. What's the deal with Berlin and how is that different to where were you before?
Oh, it's really different. Like, I mean, I always say I'm from Frankfurt, but I'm actually like from a town nearby. So it's a village. It's not really big, and now I'm in the, you know, out in the big wild world. Yeah, and it's really different to where I'm from, because I don't know. It's not like the rest of what I know from Germany. People are just really open, and from what I know, I mean, I've been here like 2 weeks. Maybe I idolize it, that can be. But
you're still in awe.
Watching, like seeing things from, you know, through the filter. Yeah, but it's great. I mean, I work full time here, which is kind of a bit exhausting, I would say. But it's fine. It's in market research, and it's interesting. So, yeah.
Is that a part of your studies?
Yeah, I mean, you can enter market research with sociology. But that's one way. There's a lot. I think the study is really like wide, like it's a wide field, and yeah, you can choose. You can go into journalism or market research, for example. So yeah, I chose that, and now I'm doing like an internship here.
And what's that gonna, like, where do you want to go with this sociology and market research?
Giving me an existential crisis here. Yeah, I mean, it's easier to say it than to actually do it, but I don't think I want to work full-time, like, in my future. I don't know, I have this idea to have, like, two different jobs, maybe three, like, working as a freelancer. That would be amazing. And to have, like, a passive income, maybe, to secure myself and to not be living and, like, you know, work to live. That's a goal, but let's see how that works out.
What would be the freelancing about? What in?
I'd love to do some writing, because I write, and like everything that comes to my mind, just poetry, stories. Yeah, and another passive income would be to hopefully write a book, and yeah, maybe some articles or even like motivational letters for CV. That's really fun. That's such a strange thing.
Commissioned.
Yeah.
Commissioned motivational letters.
Yes.
Fair play. Yeah. Whatever sells, really. Especially, you know, writing is such a wide niche. You can definitely whip out a book or two, and on top of that, do some commission-based writing.
Definitely.
Especially that it's a part of your work right now, isn't it? To do a bit of writing for the application and stuff like that, documents.
Yeah, I get to write the like the article of the analysis at our website. That's amazing. I'm really excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Make sure that you get your name down there.
Oof,
somewhere.
I'm not sure about that, like from an intern. I don't think they do that, but...
Oh, I don't know. I would try to navigate somehow to do that, even if it's just in small print at the bottom.
Yeah, one can.
Otherwise, you cannot really use it for a portfolio, you know.
Yeah, you got a point there. That's a good idea.
It's not like they're gonna lose much of it, especially if you're the one writing it. That's, come on, that's only fair.
Yeah, I think that too.
I mean, there is always the option of the ghost writing, which some people do. I've never tried that, but it basically means that someone pays you to write a book or write an article or something for them, and then they can sign their name underneath it.
But that's not the same.
Sounds a bit rough.
Yeah, that's not the same as writing and putting it under another name, right?
Oh, no, no, like, it's an actual different person taking it as a... It's like, I don't know, I would give you a bunch of papers and say, write me a book of that, and then give me back the book, I'll pay you, and I have the book, you know.
Oh, wow, okay, I see.
And I can then publish the book as it's my book, in a sense. It's all about the copyrights.
I'm not sure if that fits with my, like, fits with my morals.
Yeah. It sounds a bit... I mean, I would probably struggle a bit to let go of the project once I had it. Like, it's like a little baby.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say the same.
That's fair enough. That's really cool, though. You know, obviously the jobs that we're doing right now as young people is just a matter of, like, a stepping stone, which is fair enough. And apart from this industrial year, I assume... What's the next step? Is it that you have another year at uni, or are you finishing with this year?
Yeah, I'm doing my thesis afterwards, and I want to do it still in Berlin. So I hopefully get a job to pay the rent and so that I'm able to stay here and write the thesis. And then I have, I think, half a year, like free time, if you want to say so, where I'm going to just... do my projects, and yeah, after this I will start a master, I bet, in something with communications maybe. I haven't settled yet on that. But
have you thought about the place for masters? Is it gonna be Berlin?
I've looked it up, because I would like to study in an English speaking country. But from what I've seen, it's really expensive to study there. So my idea, was to study here maybe 1 year and then use like kind of Erasmus, or just a year, like a whole year abroad, to study somewhere else, because it's cheaper than going there in the first place.
That's why I'm probably, if all of my studies fall through this year, I think I'm just gonna try and get some studies on the continent next year, because, yeah, the prices are absurd in comparison, like Danish uni or German uni, even with the full pay of 3,000 or 4,000, it's still cheaper than 13,000.
Yes. How are the dorms there? Actually, like the student dorms.
You mean the prices of student dorms?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's really expensive as well. Like, obviously, if you get the loan, it's okay, but you need to pay it at some point. So we'll get to that bridge and then we'll cross it.
I see.
For now, I'm just signing it off as if I'm not paying it yet, which is fair enough because I'm not earning enough.
And you need to work with what you have.
Definitely. Okay, before we wrap up, and I can hear as well that my flatmates went into the house and are running around, jumping around the walls, so I'm sorry, guys, for the sounds that you're hearing at the back. People sometimes are inconsiderate, not knowing about it. I just wanted to ask you... I always ask that to the listeners, to the interviewees and stuff. Is there any advice or any sort of thing that you would say to our listeners to take away from your little journey and your experiences? Maybe something to do with traveling abroad, maybe something to do with trying to find your place in a big city, whatever you feel like. Is there anything in particular that you could share with us?
Actually, I would say, if you have the chance, like, the world out there is really noisy. If you have the chance just to quiet and get into your inner world and just experience whatever is happening inside of your mind and inside of your body, like the feelings you have rising up, just question them, and it kind of centers your energy and your thoughts, and it clears your mind. So it really helps. I think that's something I've learned in my short life still. yeah, in my, I don't know, lifetime here on Earth. So that would be, I think, something that can maybe help someone.
That's really cool. Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%. I think, I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before when I was talking about quieting down a bit. And I think this is such an important part of our life right now with all the hustle and bustle and constant noise, which is just, as you can hear, guys, in the background, even in your own house, it's never ending, really. Yeah, well, thank you very much for joining me on this little sound
Thank
adventure.
you for the invite. I really enjoyed it.
It was a pleasure, and yeah, other than that, guys, as always, stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time.